Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is now 8:08 p.m. and that is Dubai time. And this has been a particularly eventful day on markets. Well, I thought I would start off and look at some of the bigger movers on Wall Street, because when we look at, for example, Caterpillar, it accelerated to its peak at the beginning of 2018, and then it's held this sequence of lower rally highs since then, and now the price is accelerating lower. Well, there's certainly a short-term oversold condition, but if it's going to bounce, well, then it's got some room in which to do so, because it would need to rally by at least $20 to even approximate the region of the trend mean, and then to really question the downward bias, it needs to break its sequence of lower rally highs, which is now $40 above where the price is. So to say that there would be work to be done, then is a bit of an understatement. The best that we could say is that the price right now is in the region of the peak that we saw in 2011, 12, and 14. So it's the upper side of the underlying trading range, but this is certainly not bullish action. And Boeing, which is another major constituent of the Dow Jones Industrials, was also in negative territory in here today, down about $10. And this is also at a rather interesting level, because we have the failed upside break. And the dynamic of the failure is larger than the dynamic of the breakout. And rule of thumb from the chart seminar is that when you see that, then the chances are that you're going to come right back down and test the lower side of the range. The rub, though, is that the lower side of the range is currently below the trend mean. So then the question is whether we're going to see it find support somewhere within the next $10. Well, if it does find support, then that would be rather encouraging. And it's certainly not beyond the bounds of possibility that we're going to see some of these shares find support in the region of the trend mean, but certainly this has been I think one of the things that people are starting to worry about is that we're starting to see underperformance in the banking sector. When we look at, for example, the S&P 500 Banks Index, then it is breaking downwards. And this is the first time that it has been trading below the trend mean for any measurable period of time since really 2016. And prior to that, the trend mean had been an area of support on successive occasions. So the S&P 500 Banks is now starting to follow through on the weakness that we've seen globally in the banking sectors. When we look at the KBW Regional Banks Index, well, that had been the region of the market that had been doing best, but it has been pulling back in a dynamic manner over the course of the last few months, the last few weeks. Part of the reason for that is because of the underperformance of the Bank of the Ozarks. And I think most people probably have never heard of the Bank of the Ozarks until just the last couple of weeks. When we look at I just need to type in the ticker correctly. When we look at the performance of this particular share, well, we're presented with something that has got some great teaching examples from the perspective of the chart seminar, but what it did was it trended very persistently and consistently higher between 2009 and about 2015. Then we had a much larger reaction that was loss of consistency at the penultimate high. Then it went on to new high ground in the last few weeks of 2015 and pulled back. Then we entered this volatile ranging phase, represented by ranging time and size. So it turned from you had the acceleration, a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Then you had the ranging time and size. So it was a type 1, 2, and then 3 trend ending. And now we're getting the acceleration down out of this range. Ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and this is exploding on the downside. One of the reasons that Bank of the Ozarks is rather interesting is because it was comparatively unknown until just the last couple of years. then it has been taking on progressively larger loan portfolios, and it has even gone international, having once been a regional bank. Well, this is another example of a company that went out and borrowed a pile of money with just about anywhere when there was very low interest rates, and they are betting big that they would be able to capture market share before they would have to start paying the money back. Well, it's obviously not working, and that is weighing on the regional banking sector. But this is the kind of business model that we see increasingly, because they're starting to fail. And Netflix is another one of those companies that has been borrowing a pile of money, and that despite the fact that it was able to achieve a really rather impressive subscriber growth number when it announced its earnings, it's right back on the region of the trend mean. It did accelerate, that the share doubling in 2018, in the first half of the year in fact, was a clear acceleration. Then we had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It's the biggest pullback we've seen in the entire bull market, and now we're getting a period of right-hand extension. If it's going to bounce, then this is exactly where that needs to happen. If it starts to sustain moves below the trend mean, well, we're really talking about a completed top formation. So it's really a rather interesting level here. But what's also interesting in here today, despite the fact that we're getting quite a bit of selling pressure on the major indices, is that Tesla, which is one of the most divisive shares anywhere, is actually in positive territory and bouncing from the $250 area. Well, perhaps we should just then now concentrate on some of the primary indices. So, for example, the NASDAQ is right in the region of this 7,000 area. 7,000 represents the upper side of the underlying trading range. It's also the region of the trend mean. And if the index can continue to hold this level, well, then we're still in a reasonably consistent trending environment. So this really is a very important Rubicon for some of these markets. The S&P 500 has gapped lower in here today, and it moves to a new reaction low, but it is still in the region of the trend mean, and this is a potential area where we could anticipate support starting to come through. But perhaps the more important point, though, is that it has posted a failed upside break, and the rule of thumb again from the chart seminar is that it would go down and test the lower side of the range, and the lower side of the range is back in the area of the lows that we saw in January, and therefore it's the $2,500 point level is where a rather key area of potential support lies. Well, if we stick for a moment with the banking sectors, we've looked at what's going on in terms of the US banking sector, but the European banking sectors are really looking sick in here, and they continue to push to new lows, and they're being led lower by the Italian banks. But this is not a bullish pattern, that they've been trending lower all year, and the index is coming back down towards the lower side of this, well, I hesitate to call it a base formation, but certainly coming back down to the lows seen in 2016 and 2012. Then when we look at banking sectors, for example, in the UK, which is not represented by the Eurostoxx Banks Index, well, we get a very similar trajectory, that there is a really quite pronounced selling pressure starting to come to bear on the UK banking sector as well. Then when we look at the Australian banking sector, we're getting a similar story. Now, there is the potential here that when we think about the global economy and the fact that banks are liquidity providers, and that it isn't simply that we're seeing underperformance in one banking sector, but that it is all banking sectors are now exhibiting some selling pressure. Well, what that is beginning to highlight is that there is potential here generally speaking, what we think about is that Banks should do well in a liquidity rich environment because they're liquidity providers, and they should do at least as well, or at least they shouldn't be deteriorating in a bull market environment. But if we are seeing so many banks starting to underperform, well, that is, I think, a symptom of a wider liquidity crunch that some of the that liquidity is obviously getting drained out of the global system, and that is starting to weigh on the profitability of the banking sector. Then you have the questions about the sustainability of the housing markets in a significant number of countries, not least in the USA and in the UK and indeed in Australia and Canada, that higher interest rates are something that are going to have a knock-on effect for mortgage demand, and then that is something that could weigh on the banking sector as well. But what was interesting in here today was that, for example, some of the US housing providers like Lennar Homes and Pulte Homes have at least paused. So they're actually in positive territory in here today, whereas just about everything else is in negative territory, and they are really quite oversold in the short term, so they are due at least a pause here. Now, we have a substantial number of shares that are going to be coming through with earnings in here this week. So that is likely to inform the ability of some of these shares to bounce. Now, Google, having been one of the most consistently trending shares in the world, has become much less consistent this year. It's had a bigger pullback. It's had a failed upside break. It's now pulling back into the underlying trading range, and these are things it hadn't done previously. So it has gone from being very consistent to being quite a bit less consistent. And Google has obviously been wrapped up in the increasingly ambivalent attitude that regulators are taking towards social media. Facebook is right back on the region of the lows from earlier in this year, and it was in negative territory in here today. So when we look at the stock market, we're at, I think, a rather important Rubicon. There are a number of shares are back in the region of potential areas of support, and some of them are very large cap, so they do have an impact on the wider market as well. But the underperformance of the banking sector is something that I think we need to sit up and pay attention to because of the influence that that has on the liquidity environment. Now, when we look at the commodity sector, gold prices were initially up in a reasonably dynamic manner, but they gave up a good part of that advance, and it's now back inside the range that's persisted for the last couple of weeks. But this is still generally a reasonably bullish environment for the gold price, not least because it has some safe haven credentials. Palladium prices today were breaking out to new highs, not least because of the potential for sanctions against Russia and what that would mean for palladium exports. But so far, the price has not been able to hold the advance. So we are seeing that there is some demand starting to come through for safe haven type assets, but not in the most dynamic manner possible. One of the firmer markets has been US government bonds, and the 10-year yield has been coming back a little in here. So it's back to about 3.12%. The big question is whether during any kind of additional selling pressure that we get, whether the yield is going to continue to hold above that 3% level. Now, when we look at the VIX index, well, we've definitely had some selling pressure starting to come through in here, but the VIX is not surging onto new high ground. And what I think that helps to highlight is that we have had some selling pressure in here, but it isn't as broad-based or as volatile as it was just a few weeks ago. Then we do have shares that are breaking on the upside. So McDonald's reported really quite impressive earnings, and It is coming right back up to test the region of its trend mean, and Verizon, with its continued push into 5G, is also starting to break up and out of what is effectively a five-year range. So it's not all bad news in here, but I think continue to think that China is where the epicenter of risk resides, and the A-share index is continuing to represent a bearish, it still has a sequence of lower rally highs, despite the fact that we had the upside key reversal on Friday and follow through yesterday. It hasn't been able to continue to advance in here, and the Chinese are starting to support the market. But what is really required is clear and sustained action to do so, and they need to make some very public statements about outright support for the market in order to really break the sequence of lower rally highs. Then when we look at what's going on in Europe, well, the Italians have been sanctioned by the European Commission for their budget, but at the same time Italy is in a rather difficult scenario, and they really do need some stimulus. And the bigger question is, when is Europe going to get the message that stimulus is required if they're ever going to seriously start to address the unemployment issues or the inequality issues that exist within society in Europe? And the logical answer is for some additional stimulus, not just in Italy, but perhaps for the entire euro area. Well, in order to get the political cover to adopt fiscal stimulus, it's quite likely that they're going to need to have a crisis. And the potential here is that Italian yields are going to move higher from here. Even in the best of circumstances, if they do adopt a fiscal stimulus, well, that is likely to have an upward pressure on the government bond yield. And this chart looks like a first step above the base, which has been completed, and now the first consolidation above that step, and really a very, very clear downward dynamic would be required to question potential for additional upside in terms of Italian borrowing costs. Then when we think about what is going on in terms of the emerging markets, well, it's not simply that you have the Chinese renminbi that's weak, but emerging market currencies generally are weak, and the dollar is really quite firm. Then you have the fact that gold prices are starting to steady, and that government bond yields are starting to come back down. And this is at least evidence that you're getting some demand for safe havens starting to come through. It's certainly the case that there are significant challenges for the European markets, and then also for China, and then you have the Indian market, where there is a liquidity squeeze and they're leaning on the banking sector, whereas growth is still coming in on trend for the USA, but you are definitely seeing now that the banking sector is starting to take notice of that, and then the continued resolve of the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates and remove stimulus from the economy is beginning to weigh on sentiment. Well, eventually we're going to see that the Federal Reserve is going to lean so heavily that it causes a downtick in terms of growth, but we also have to consider that it's the USA is perhaps the relative strength leader, and it's from Europe and in China where we can anticipate that the potential for some fuel in terms of the stimulus programs to really break the funk in terms of stock market performance, perhaps more likely. Then oil prices in here today are pulling back below the $80 level on Brent crude. And this is a trend inconsistency. Well, Brent crude, our crude oil prices are generally not the most consistent in the world, but this is a pretty substantial pullback here. The oil price is coming back by almost $4 in here today. So this is a clear failed break above the $80 area. And now it's going to come right back down and test the region of the trend mean, and particularly more than that, considering that the potential is that it's going to go back and test the lower side of this underlying trading range. Well, if oil prices are pulling back, well, that is likely not simply that there is excess supply, but that there are also fears about demand. And that is also then likely to remove some of the pressure from the major consumers, not least places like India and Japan. What I do find interesting is that whereas the mid-cap sectors for the vast majority of countries are breaking down, the second section index in Japan has been really quite steady. Whereas when we look at the performance of mid-cap sectors just about everywhere else, then they are breaking down out of their respective ranges. The FTSE 250, for example, is down in a dynamic manner over the course of the last few weeks. The MDAX in Germany also is breaking down from its most recent range. And this is not particularly bullish action. It looks like a completing top formation in here. Most particularly, the DAX looks like a completing type 3 top formation. And it really would need to bounce and do so in a rather dynamic manner in order to question supply dominance and further test of underlying trading. I think one of the more important points is that when we look at the Europe Stoxx 600, it has been ranging below 400 for 18 years. And just about every other market that has had one of these incredibly persistent ranges has been able to break on the upside. And that has just not occurred for Europe because of the significant challenges that remain outstanding in terms of the market to sustain a break. That there are so many questions that are still outstanding for Europe, that everything from the Italian situation to the fact that you have the rise of populism as a result of this imposition of austerity on European populations that never agreed to a decade of lower living standards to pay off debts that really should have been written down. And this does not look like a bullish chart right now. So when we think about where the risks are, well, I think the epicenter of risk is China. Europe is influenced by China's underperformance, and then you have the USA. But I do believe it is in that order. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.